Now, as you just heard, Mary Butler is here with me in studio, Government Chief Whip and Minister of State of the Department of Health, special responsibility for mental health as well. I think I have that right, do I?
You do indeed.
Happy Christmas, Mary.
Happy Christmas to you and to everyone listening.
And to you and all your family, and please God, a safe and happy Christmas for everybody associated with you. Thanks very much for coming in. We've a lot of things to get through. Very briefly, firstly, Care Doc.
Yes. So the situation arose this week where there was, I believe, an ongoing dispute between Care Doc in relation to how the Section 39 workers, that element of Care Doc, were not happy with their terms and conditions. Thankfully, they got around the table. There was a strike did commence yesterday, but they were around the table at 10 o'clock yesterday morning. They spoke well into the day. I was coming from Dublin last night at about 7:30. I got a call from the Minister, Jennifer Karen McNeill, the Minister for Health, to say me that there has a resolution has been found. Now, I know more work has to be done, but the strike is now stood down and Care Doc will operate as normal. As you know, I texted your good self to give you the news and you push it out there, which was very, very welcome. So I'm just glad that it has been resolved. I know there's more work to do in relation to the resolution of it in relation to terms and conditions. But for anybody listening at this really, really vital time where we have flu circulating widely and a very dangerous strand of flu, really important that we have those out of our supports from Care Doc. They work, I suppose, across Waterford, Kilkenny, Carlow, all the way up into Kildare, hugely important in the southeast. So it was such a relief last night when I got that word.
And again, it's not yet a done deal because Care Doc management have to go back now to the staff and the staff have to vote on this. So it's not a done deal. But like I'd say, a lot of pressure came on Care Doc management from the HSE because I've never seen a dispute before where those at the bottom, you could call it, the workers, and those at the top, the government, the HSE, were basically saying, lads, Care Doc, you have to pay this money.
Yeah, but the HSE stepped forward with additional funding to Care Doc last night.
Yeah, how much is that worth?
I don't know. Okay. I haven't seen the details. Just got that snippet of news.
So Care Doc have got something out of it as well, in the sense that they've got more money out of this.
Well, look, I suppose it brings you back to the story, which is another day's debate in relation to Section 39s, 38s, and how they're all funded. And, you know, they do the same amount of work with different terms and conditions. And it's something we have made a lot of progress on, but we're not there yet, but we're very conscious of it.
Okay, very good. Big, big court case decision due today. Just explain to people what it's about.
So, during the year, Sinn Féin, a TD from Sinn Féin, Pat Daly from Kerry, and Deputy Paul Murphy from People Before Profit took a case to the High Court in relation to the Chief Whip, which is myself, and three other super junior ministers that sit at Cabinet. And they have challenged that. So I'm annoyed, Damien. Like, I'm the first woman ever from Waterford to sit at Cabinet. I'm the Chief Whip, so that means I sit on the right-hand side of the Taoiseach and I support him. But I'm also the first time ever that mental health had a standalone voice at Cabinet. And people say the Minister for Health is there. Yes, she absolutely is, but she covers everything. And for the first time ever, mental health has a standalone voice at Cabinet and disability has a standalone voice at Cabinet. Nowhere else in Europe has this been seen. And this court case is trying to take us out of that. I'm really annoyed. I'm always a person in good form. The glass is always half full for me. I love life. But by God, am I annoyed today that we could potentially have a Waterford minister removed from Cabinet. But to think or imagine that mental health could be removed from Cabinet. And this is a political stroke. It's nothing else.
What do you mean a political stroke?
It's a political stroke. It's opposition deciding. Like, none of them have ever sat in Cabinet. None of them have ever sat in government. And, you know, why would you take a role to remove something that's vital at Cabinet? Like, we've 15 departments, so going back to the Constitution, you have 15 ministers. I'm a Minister of State that sits at Cabinet, and people say you're not a full minister. I'm a full minister in the respect that I'm a Minister for Mental Health. I have my own delegated function. I have my own budget of 1.6 billion, but I'm also Chief Whip. Now, there could be a discrepancy because I'm Chief Whip. I spoke to the Attorney General during the week and he said, you know, we can't preempt what's happening, but they feel that the Chief Whip's role will be okay, but that the Ministry for Mental Health may not be. And that's what worries me the most.
And I was reading a bit about this over the last few weeks, and they're saying that this is not a personal thing. This has nothing to do with any of the specific roles. They're saying this has got to do with how many junior ministers or super juniors are appointed in cabinet. So that's what they're saying. They're saying it goes against the constitution.
Yeah, no, but I accept that. But like, you know, the constitution was written in 1937. And the situation you have is, like, we're a much bigger country now. Mm. And departments are much bigger. And there's a lot more issues to cover. But look, we'll have the results at 2 o'clock today. Okay. I have no doubt that we'll await and see what the results are. But
if it goes against you and if it goes against the government, I'd say you'll probably appeal it.
Yes, we will. So I'll still be there. I'll be back for the first cabinet meeting on the 13th of January. I absolutely will. But it's a distraction you don't need. And I am really, really annoyed. I'm really, really annoyed in relation to Sinn Féin doing this. I'm okay. really annoyed in relation to People Before Profit doing this from the perspective of I contribute very much so to cabinet. People say you don't have a vote. There hasn't been a vote taken in cabinet with a long, long time. A lot of the work is done in cabinet committee before you even go into the cabinet. Decisions are teased out. And yeah, so 2 o'clock today, we will have that decision.
And again, big potential implications for Waterford as well, as you know, because, with John Cummins being there as Minister of State, but he's not at cabinet, so that
doesn't apply to him. So we're classed as super junior ministers because there's four of us that sit at cabinet.
Now, can I just ask you, in terms of the Attorney General you just mentioned, Waterford Crystal pensions and the issues in relation to that. We heard from Walter Croke earlier in the week, and he said that there was a question that you asked back in 2017, and Mary Hannafin, and she responded. So
Regina Doherty.
Mm-hmm. He was saying there's a discrepancy there, and he was asking, is there a contradiction there, or what is the story now? Have you spoken to the Attorney General? Have ye got advice in relation to this? Is this now a dead issue?
Well, what I'll say to you is, Tuesday morning he was on? I think I was in the Shannon with the mental health bill at the time. No, sorry, Tuesday morning I was in cabinet at the time. Yeah, whatever day he was in. So my staff listen to WLR, they listen to your programme every day, and they would give me a briefing on what comes up, because I don't get to hear it most days now, and I listen back at the weekend. And so I believe Mr Croke was on, and he spoke about parliamentary questions I asked in 2017. So I would have always engaged in good faith with various representatives of Waterford Crystal who believed that their pension needs were not met, and they certainly, in my belief, they were not met. But I suppose you could spend the whole programme talking about why they weren't met when there was a ruling in 2013 by the ECJ, the European courts, and then it went to the High Court in 2015. But unfortunately, at that stage, when a lot of money was paid out after they win in this landmark case, there was still people across Waterford City and County who were left without that pension agreement payment. Nobody to this day can tell me why some were excluded and some weren't. I'm not sure whether you have any clarification on that, but I was never told why some were excluded from that payment. I haven't had any correspondence from Walter. I have met him several times over the years. I looked at the three questions because I'm in a situation since 2020 where I respond to parliamentary questions. I answer them in relation to mental health, hundreds of them every week. And I looked at the three questions that I asked, and I asked them in good faith. This is the first time it has been brought to my attention that the answer is incorrect, and it is incorrect. I can see it here because Regina Doherty, who was the minister at the time, said that they were offered their options and they weren't. So that's the crux of it. This wasn't answered on the floor of the Dáil. It was an answer in writing. Lawrence in my office pulled it up for me yesterday so we could have a look at it. Look, where do we go from here? It's difficult to see where we go politically now because the Attorney General has ruled. There was a meeting, I wasn't invited to it at the time, but there was a meeting between the Taoiseach of the day, who was Simon Harris, the Minister of the day at the time, and Sinn Féin. Yes, Heather Humphreys and Sinn Féin. And they asked the Attorney General to give his opinion. And he has given his opinion now. So it's difficult to see where we go politically. I engaged constantly with James Elliott, Paddy Daly and John Hearn on this. There's a huge group of men there, about 400 or 500, and women, but mostly men and women. Some are deceased. Some families, you know, have lost their loved ones. And it is a difficult, complex situation. But we're kind of up against it now, is my opinion. And I don't say that lightly.
And by saying up against it, does that mean that, in your opinion, they don't have a case?
Well, the Attorney General believes
But what is his belief based on? Because
that I don't know. He was asked by the Taoiseach and the minister of the day to look at this, and he has now made his ruling no. And the answer, can I just say one thing? The answer came because I followed up again. So I can't ask parliamentary questions, but I asked my colleague who lives in Youghal, Deputy James O'Connor. James would often put in parliamentary questions for me, because sometimes you can be too long waiting for an answer. And we followed up again this year, and I asked Deputy James O'Connor to submit this particular question for me. And because he's just over the border for us, he would know people, in West Waterford. And he put in the question, and that response came back. So it's quite difficult at the moment politically to know where we go.
I know. So should the Dáil record be corrected from what Regina Doherty said back in 2017?
Well, the written Dáil record, I assume, should be corrected. I'm not sure how you go about it. Yeah. She's no longer a minister. Yeah. She's an MEP now. Okay. I'm not really sure how that works.
Okay, but at the minute you're saying that the government advice from the Attorney General, and you're not sure on what this is based, is that unfortunately there's no money due to the Waterford Crystal workers.
Well, what I can say is the information that he will give is based on what information he was provided with.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what an Attorney General does. Yeah. Very, very solid legal mind at the highest level in Ireland. You don't go any higher than him. And he has been asked by the Taoiseach and the Minister of the day for his considered response, and that's what he gave.
Okay.
But look, the thing about it is, I don't want to be delivering difficult news. I'm not. What I'm saying is it's difficult to see where we go politically now, because any time we will, contact the department, they will point to the Attorney General's advice. Yeah. That's how it works.
Okay.
Again, I'll go back to the point. I can never understand. I can never understand why these people in 2015, when there was a large pot of money there after that ruling in the European courts, why were they excluded at that stage?
Okay.
And nobody can answer that, Damien.
Okay. Let's play a little bit of David Cullinan from earlier in the week, just around 20 seconds, talking about national development plans in Waterford.
We're now not going to proceed with a rail line that would connect both of those ports, I think is insane at a time when we need to be investing in offshore renewable energy, meeting our climate action targets. And that was the whole reason why Eamon Ryan at the time included that rail upgrade. So it is a matter for government to answer for. And I think it has to be put to both John Cummins and Mary Butler. Why is it that the South East is not getting the N24 upgrade, not getting the N25 upgrade, got shafted on the airport, where we now have to rely on private investors?
Then he mentions the rail there as well. We don't have time to get into all the different details in relation to this, but some sort of a response to David Cullinan.
Yeah, so I became aware of the situation in relation to the rail project and the prioritisation strategy. It was actually Minister James Brown contacted me. Minister James Brown, the Minister for Housing, he's in Wexford, and we're talking about the connectivity between Waterford and Rosslare. So that particular morning, that when it was raised, myself and James Brown cornered Minister Sean Canny in Cabinet in the ante room before we went in, and to ask him what the hell was going on and why has this prioritisation, what is the story? So he went off to check it out for us, and we've had a meeting with him since, and we will have further meetings. So what they're saying to us, and we got the civil servant answer, a myriad of reasons why it's not been prioritised at the moment. It hasn't been dropped, but it's not prioritised. So that's over to myself and Minister James Brown and Minister John Cummins when he's back from paternity leave. And I just would like to wish himself and Inga and baby Sean a very happy, lovely Christmas.
Yes, hear, hear.
This is something that landed on me on Tuesday or Wednesday in the middle of a very busy week, but we were able to deal with it from the perspective of raising it and raising our concerns. Why isn't it prioritised? It doesn't make logic for me in relation to, we have a new railway station almost complete. Connectivity is essential between the two ports as well. And we won't be found wanting and fighting our corner on this.
Again, I could say to you that that's not good enough.
Yeah, you could. But all we can do is our absolute best. And we are at the table where there was three of us, that are there at the table.
Yeah, because there's a specific decision was made to exclude the Waterford.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, they didn't exclude it, but they didn't prioritise it.
Yeah, but that's...
Yeah, I know. That's political speak, as you could say. But the one thing I will say, they gave a myriad of reasons.
Okay.
The reason why, because there was only a single track and all different things. But I'm going to go back now and tease tease out those reasons.
Okay.
And meet with the minister. We'll meet with him early in the new year. And we will meet also with Dara O'Brien, who Minister Sean Canny is a Minister of State in that department, and see where it's going, because I'm not pleased.
Okay, we'll follow up on that.
Yeah.
Let's deal with Fianna Fáil, if you don't mind. Again, you're very good for talking to us. We've got loads of things to talk about. We'll just go into this now at the minute. Big report, obviously, out this week. You've been at the centre of all this. The meeting that took place the other night in the government offices, did you chair that meeting, or who chaired? No.
No, so I'll tell you who was at the top table. So Brendan Smith, a TD from Cavan Monaghan. Brendan is our chairman many years. So there was Brendan, there was a Taoiseach, there was myself, and there was one of the deputy whips, who is Paddy O'Sullivan, who would have been one of the biggest critics of the Taoiseach.
Okay.
And we had a huge showing from the parliamentary party. So we had the TDs, the senators, and we had one of the MEPs there, Barry Andrews, and we had three of the MEPs from Brussels online.
Yeah, just on the MEPs, do you think Cynthia should have been considered for running for president?
I think everybody should have been considered if they put their name forward in relation to running for president.
Don't think she would have won then?
Well, I'm not sure. It's not an easy contest to win.
It's not
an easy contest to win. But Cynthia got a fantastic vote.
Okay.
In the European elections.
Okay. Well, it's an easy to get an application to get a nomination within Fianna Fáil if you have one meeting with the Taoiseach.
Well,
now, he'd one meeting, that's what he said, OK? And then he came out and then he said this.
I'm very strongly supportive of Jim Gavin. I've had a lot of engagement with him. And I believe in this era, he is the person, I think, best placed to represent the Irish people as president.
OK, so that, my understanding was, he'd one meeting. He met Jim Gavin once. The report suggests the meeting took place in July to discuss his candidacy. And then he goes and he says that publicly.
So he would have had one meeting with Jim Gavin in relation to the presidency, but he knew Jim Gavin quite well. He had appointed him as chair of the Inner City Task Force in Dublin. He also had appointed him to a Citizens' Assembly. So he knew Jim Gavin, and he knew he would have met Jim Gavin from those perspectives.
But he'd only one meeting with him about the presidential role.
One meeting face to face.
One meeting face to face. So it just sounded strange that he said that he said it like, okay, let's take that on board.
Yeah.
When did you first know about it? When did you first know about the issues? Did you know also about the issues arising, the potential issues, at the same time as Micheál Martin did? Before.
No. So when that correspondence from Fionnuala Sheehan came on the 5th, on the 5th of October.
5th of September.
Sorry, the 5th of September.
Irish Independent Journalist Fionnuala Sheehan contacts Mr. Martin's Chief of Staff, Deirdre Galán, informs her that there may be an issue with a former tenant of Mr. Gavin.
Yes.
The matter is put to the candidate by Mr. Dorgan, and Mr. Gavin tells him he can't recollect anything. Now, we subsequently found out that Micheál Martin was also told then about it at that stage.
Correct.
Were you told?
No. And I wouldn't expect to be, because I wasn't part of the everyday running of the campaign.
But you're his right-hand woman, Micheál Martin's right-hand woman, in the sense that you're very close to him.
I am very close to him. I speak to the Taoiseach most days. But like, for example, he went to Brussels on Wednesday night. I didn't speak to him yesterday, for example. Yeah. You know, so
but this was a major thing, in the sense that the candidate was just about to be ratified by Fianna Fáil. Well, the vote was going to take place.
But can I just say one thing?
Please.
Because obviously, you know, this has caused a huge amount of hurt and embarrassment for members of Fianna Fáil, the parliamentary party, but for our members nationally and our councillors and our supporters. At that time, there was a huge amount of misinformation and disinformation circulating about the candidate. You would all have seen it on social media in relation to his private life. Hugely damaging and hurtful portrayal of him as a person. And he had spoken to me about that, actually, and how difficult it was for his wife and his daughter when we were canvassing. We did have a couple of really good conversations. And, you know, I was just explaining to him, unfortunately, in politics, we are subjected to an awful lot of misinformation that we don't always get the chance to clarify. That particular correspondence that came from Fionnuala Sheehan on that day is as what you said. So you ask a candidate, just in any election or in any walk of life, you ask that person who wants to represent Fianna Fáil, and you ask them and they say no. Like, you have to take a person at their word as well. There was checks done in relation to, the property, was it registered?
But they never rang Fionnuala back. I had Fionnuala on the other day. Like, very simple. Like, you'd ring me back, Mary, if I had an issue, and I'd say, you'd ring me back and say, what's this about? Like, this due diligence thing to me is a smokescreen, because we went online and checked a couple of things, there's nothing there. That's not good enough.
But they did actually ring Fionnuala Sheehan back, but it was during the week, and then there was
during
no
the week. Well,
there was no Sarah O'Connor, who is our chief of comms, did ring Fionnuala Sheehan back, and there was no correspondence from Fionnuala for 24 days. Well, that's in the report.
Well, it says here on this thing, this is a summary of the report, on September the 8th, Fionnuala Sheehan sends an email to Fianna Fáil Press Office seeking an interview with Mr Gavin. He informs the party that he's looking for specific questions about Mr Gavin's property issues with a particular issue and a tenant. I also have referenced here that at some stage it was told, Mr Gavin was told that if there is an issue with a tenant, it's more than likely that it will become into the public domain. If there's a disgruntled tenant, you know what I mean?
So the candidate was again asked on that Monday. He was asked between four and five times from the Friday to the Monday. So Mr Sheehan was again contacted. He was contacted on the Wednesday by Sarah O'Connor, the head of comms, and he did not make any contact with Fianna Fáil for 24 days, as per the record. So the senior counsel attended our parliamentary party meeting on Tuesday
night. You're kind of blaming Fionnuala Sheehan, sorry.
No, I'm not blaming Fionnuala Sheehan. What I'm saying to you is a senior counsel who I actually appointed to lead out on this report. I would have, spoke to him, and as he said to me, I spoke to him before he came up to the parliamentary party room on Tuesday night, and he said to me that he can stand over an account that is factual. So he had to get the facts, and he had to present them as factual. And it is factual that Sarah O'Connor did contact Fionnuala Sheehan on the Wednesday, which would have been the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, and there was no further correspondence made. Damien, there was mistakes made. I'm not going to try it. This is not a blame game.
It was a mess.
We made a hames of it. I'll stand over that all day long. It has caused huge damage. It has caused huge hurt. But the time has now come to move on from it. Well, and can I just say one thing? The frenzy in relation to the national media, with all due respects to yourself, because I didn't see that. I didn't see that locally. But the frenzy in relation to the national media, for example, when the Taoiseach is out in Europe or he's out in America or he's out in Japan on trade missions, and these are the type of questions that are being asked. There's a time and a place. And the Taoiseach went on media on Wednesday morning. The Taoiseach has held up his hand from the very start to say he got it wrong. You know, I came on your radio programme at the time. I've never shy away from interviews and said this is an internal issue for Fianna Fáil. And it still is an internal issue for Fianna Fáil. But I have never, ever seen such a frenzy that has gone on. If I were to show you...
So you're saying it's kind of a personal thing against Micheál Martin?
No, I don't know what it is. What I'll say to you is if I were to show you my phone from last Friday, Saturday and Sunday and the amount of red calls that were unanswered.
Okay.
Because I've been here... I've been there in the background trying to do four jobs in the last 2 months. TD for Waterford, Chief Whip, Minister for Mental Health, and also Whip of the Fianna Fáil Party. And it has been a difficult time trying to manage everything.
I'm not denying that. And I will pass on this now in 8 minutes' time, OK? I'll go over this and we'll finish it off.
Okay.
I promise you that, OK? But at the meeting that you held the other night, TDs questioned him about the potential issues. Mm. He remained wishy-washy.
Ah, that's rubbish.
That's what Fionnuala Sheehan said. He kept fudging it.
Fionnuala wasn't in the room. I never left the room for 4 hours and 45 minutes.
Mary O'Regan, I think it might have been.
It was Mary O'Regan, yeah.
You're okay? Wishy-washy. Was this disrespectful to the party members? In other words, he went on Dave McCullough the next morning and he admitted the fact that he'd known. Why didn't he tell people at the meeting that he'd known?
I'm not sure whether there was a direct question put to him at the meeting in relation to that.
But he still could have said, hold on a second, like it's not in the report. He was interviewed by the people that were doing the report and he didn't tell them, oh yeah, by the way, I didn't, I knew about this. Why didn't he?
We have a parliamentary party.
No, can you answer that? Why didn't he?
I'm going to come around to it. We have a parliamentary party of 71 members. And we have the Taoiseach and we have President of Fianna Fáil, Micheál Martin, with 14 years. Not every one of those 71 members would be as loyal to the Taoiseach as I am. There's huge loyalty in the room to the Taoiseach. There's a middle ground who are, you know, they're happy with the status quo at the moment. But there is a cohort of people who have been very, very vocal in the last 2 months that are not loyal to the Taoiseach, that have caused huge damage
to
the party. And can I push it to you as somebody that's a member of Fianna Fáil all her adult life? There were scores being settled at that parliamentary party meeting on Tuesday night.
It still doesn't get away from the very simple question I've asked you. Why didn't Micheál Martin tell those that were doing this report that he had been told about the potential issues before the nomination process?
So I wasn't involved in the questions that were being asked by the three members of the Oireachtas and by the senior counsel.
Are you disappointed that he didn't say it to the report authors?
I think you're being pedantic in relation to that
point. And then the next day, he doesn't tell the meeting either because somebody doesn't ask the right question. That's like what John Bruton said when he got up in the Dáil. He didn't ask the right question. And then he goes on Dave McCullough and says, oh, by the way, I knew about it.
Look, I think in fairness, why are we looking for blood here? Are
no,
we
I'm not. I'm just asking
no,
you.
I'm
why
not,
didn't
I'm
do
not
it?
Saying
because
you.
To me, it undermines. Mm. I think this was a Micheál Martin solo run. And I think he got it wrong. Like, it was a mess. The report found no procedures in place for selecting presidential candidates. Mm. Jim Gavin never really gave big interviews when he was a Dublin manager. So, for example, how he was going to be big on the media. Mm. I was talking to a number of Fianna Fáil people during the week and just said, he wasn't a good candidate. Forget about the whole thing in relation to... Like, he got 70% in the first opinion poll that came out. Like, what do you have to say to Fianna Fáil stalwarts who are going out doing church gate collections now for the next couple of months in bad weather, trying to recoup some of the €400,000 because of this mess?
What I'm going to say to you, and I'm one of those Fianna Fáil members as well, and I'm somebody who love the Fianna Fáil party and love being the vice president of the Fianna Fáil party, and some people can never understand that unless you're a member of a party. It has been very damaging for us. It has been very difficult for us. I'll always remember the Queen of England talking about an aeneas horribilis, a terrible bad year. It has been a very, very difficult 3-4 months, 5 months for us. The Taoiseach has held his hands up that he got it completely wrong. The report, which was, I circulated the report at 5:58 on Tuesday evening. At 7:06, Gavin Riley tweeted about it. 9 minutes. I was actually watching to see how many minutes would it take.
It was very late. Like, Micheál Martin had the report the previous night. He said he was going to issue it very shortly. And it wasn't until 6 o'clock that evening.
So can I just make one point? The Taoiseach got the report at 9:30 on Monday night. I was actually in Dublin at the same time. He got the report.
Did you get it as well that night?
No. He got the report at 9:30. The Taoiseach then did a doorstep on Tuesday morning with pre-cabinet at 9:00, with cabinet at 9:30, finished cabinet at 12:00. He prepared for leaders' questions. He went into the Dáil. He left the Dáil at 4:20. That's factual. And then he needed that time to look at the report again, talk with his advisers, and then I would have met the Taoiseach prior to the report going out. So I would have emailed all the members of the parliamentary party at around 10:30 on Tuesday morning, tell them that I would circulate the report. But I did not want the report circulated while the Taoiseach was on his feet taking leaders' questions, Taoiseach's questions and questions on promised legislation, because that would not be fair to anyone. Okay. So they got the report at 5:50. I also had paper copies with me, 25, and we needed every single one of them.
Was it not one of the main problems that Jim Gavin wasn't a great candidate and basically Micheál Martin's judgment was wrong?
Yeah, they're two very, very fair points, and I would say they're potentially very, very accurate points. On paper, Jim Gavin was a very good candidate. As I said, I met with him on 3 occasions. I canvassed with him on 3 occasions. On paper, he was an excellent candidate. We took him out of his comfort zone. You're right, he wasn't tested in relation to media. He wasn't tested in relation to interviews.
No polling done.
We got we got that wrong, okay? The Taoiseach...
Blind loyalty to the Taoiseach.
No. I'm not. So just remember, where there wasn't blind loyalty, we'll go back to the referendum in relation to abortion. There wasn't blind loyalty there.
I understand that.
I'm very, very...
In relation to this and judgment.
Yes. So in relation to the judgment, the Taoiseach asked the parliamentary party the end of July that that he was working behind the scenes to put a candidate in place, and would they give him the time and space to do so? And we did that in good faith. The candidate on paper looked really, really good. What more can I say? The Taoiseach has held his hand up. This has damaged us. This has damaged the party. But like, we have a programme for government and we have to deliver on it. We have a coalition government. And like, so I'm chief whip, so it's my job to keep that coalition government in place.
To those poor Fianna Fáilers that are going out in front of the church to collect
Most church gate collections don't happen anymore, right? That's the first thing that I will say to you. The second thing is that I've been doing a lot of Corladoyle counter meetings. I've been putting out fires in a lot of different areas over the last couple of months.
Are you too close to Micheál Martin?
Well, I'm the chief whip, so where else would I be? I'm vice president of the party. Yeah. Where else would I be?
Has Micheál Martin's reputation been damaged?
I believe it has. I'll be honest, I believe it has. But I see a very, very strong leader of both the party and of the government who has a huge international reputation, and that's where he is at the moment.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that.
I will tell you why I believe that his reputation has been damaged, because he holds himself to a very high standard and he is really disappointed with the outcome of what has happened, and very, very mindful of the grassroots, the councillors, the TDs, the senators, the MEPs, and all our supporters all over the country. We will be 100 years old on the 16th of May next year. 100 years old. There's not many democracies around the world can point to that. And we will reflect, we will renew, and we will come back stronger than ever.
Mary Butler, happy Christmas.
Thank you very much.
You're looking forward to the break, I'd say.
I really do need it. I'm looking forward to being back in the bosom of my family, being back in Waterford. We came down the road last night. I got home around 9 o'clock and I just saw the signs of Waterford on the road, and I said, thank God I'm home.